We're finishing our series, To the King and to the Restoration. And today we're going to be reading out of chapters 21 and 22. And we want to highlight this verse. All of these last 8 weeks we've highlighted Revelation 1:3, which says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." As we close out 2023, I want to remind us that, you know, a new year is soon. A new year is coming. And Jesus reminds us in chapter 22 here, he's going to remind us that he is coming soon. He says it five times, "I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon." And so with that, as we close out this year, as we close today's series in Revelation, I want to remind us that Jesus is coming soon. Be ready for him and be expecting for new things in this next year. Be expecting God to do new things in your life. Just like Revelation was a hope, is a hopeful prophecy for us. Yes, there's hard things in it, but overall, Revelation is anticipating a new day, a new heavens, a new earth. It's anticipating a new time frame, a new period when Jesus would come and reign and rule, and we were to look forward to that. So today, as we end the new year, into the new year, and as we end the series, I hope today that you're hopeful of what is to come and that he is coming soon. So turn with me to Revelation 21 and 22, and we're going to read that here. And I'm going to ask just for two readers. If I had to have somebody read Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. I don't know who would like to read 21. Anybody want to read 21? All right, I got Peter. Peter, will you read 21 for me? Let me bring you the mic here, and then I'll need someone for 22. All right, go ahead. Thank you, sir.
"Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. The one who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very valuable stone, like a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 144 cubits, by human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it. In its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you, Peter. Revelation chapter 22.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer would there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers the prophets and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come," and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, we just ask for your word to be highlighted. We God, we say thank you that you're preparing a new place for us. God, we ask that we would trust in you. God, we ask that we would not hide your words in this book, God, or change them or add for them or not believe them. But God, we pray that we would believe wholly in your word that you've spoken so long ago, but it's still true for today and for the future. Jesus, we just say come. We just take a moment and we say we look forward to seeing you. I pray that, God, that we would remind ourselves and we would know that you're our reward and that there is that you are enough, that Jesus, you are enough in this world and in the life to come. And it's in your strong name we pray. Amen. Amen. The new heavens and the new earth. Go ahead and go to that next slide for me, please. Today we finish up in our series. This is the last belief in our Assemblies of God, Fundamentals of Truth, our last point, number 16, and it's this, it's the new heavens and the new earth. And simply put, it's a very simple thought and doctrine, but it's just this, we say, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there's a few verses here on the screen here. We're going to look at 2 Peter 3:13. So turn with me over there to 2 Peter. There's a couple other verses that tie in here to Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13. Apostle Peter is writing to the young church. He says, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And so that's where we get that last part of that sentence, "wherein dwelleth righteousness." It's from 2 Peter 3:13. Then down there, in the same chapter, you can actually, I'd encourage you to go back this week and read 2 Peter 3, 7 through 14. It kind of highlights kind of a broader span of what it's looking, of what Peter talks about here is the new heavens and new earth. But turn with me back to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 65. Let me get there myself. Isaiah chapter 65. The Old Testament, once again, always would foreshadow and talked about Jesus, but also talked about the new heavens and new earth and what was to come when the Messiah would come. And look at chapter 65, verses 17, starting there, 17 through 25. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, for her and for her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, for no more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young men shall die 100 years old, and a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." And so here in Isaiah and Peter, it's the forecasting, the foreshadowing of this new heavens and the new earth. Now back in, let's go back to chapter 21 here. What does Scripture say? What is the new heavens and the new earth? Right? Have you ever asked yourselves that? What is heaven? What is this new heavens and the new earth? Well, here's a few things it is and it isn't. Go to that next slide for me, please. Here in verse 1 and verse 1 and 5, we see the word new. And if you haven't studied this, there's two different words the Scriptures use for new. And the first one is this, your first one here. It's kainos. And it's new in quality or innovation. It's new as in this. If I were to say this, if I brought to you a car and I'd say, "This is a new 1967 Mustang." If I said, "Here's a brand new 1967 Mustang." Everyone in this room would be like, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, it's 2023. They don't make that 67 Mustang brand new." You would say, "Oh, it's been what? Restored to what it was. Or it's been remodeled to reflect what it was new when it was made in 1967. That's that first word. And that first word is kind of here. This is the word that is used here in Revelation, that it's new. It's this new heavens, new earth has been restored in its quality to back to what it was, what was the original intent of the Father. The second word that's used in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, is this is the second word down here, and it just means new in time or recently revealed. And so in this neos here, this second word, this just means something that's brand new. Like if I said back in 2000, I think it was 2004 was when the iPod was released. If somebody held up to you an iPod in that year, it would have been a brand new invention. It would have been new, something that's never been seen before. Or like when, the first computer came out. Or how many of you, you saw your first cell phone, the first cellular phones, when those were created. That would have been something brand new. There was nothing, and now there was a new phone. There was nothing, now there was an iPod. Or whatever kind of other inventions. You could say that with electricity. There was a time when electricity didn't exist, and then it did exist. That's that second word here, meaning new in time. But what we're dealing with here is the word new, which refers to being restored back to its original quality. That is what this new heavens and new earth is dealing with here in verses 1 through 5. And that's what we have. And in this, many of us have grown up thinking, and something has been taught, and that heaven is out there. We will say our loved ones are going to go to heaven. And it's true. Scripture talks about heaven is a holding place until the new heavens and the new earth, which is here on earth. So eternity with God is not going to be out in space. We're not going to be out by Jupiter or Saturn or, Neptune out there floating around. The new heavens and new earth will be here on this earth, and the creation is going to be restored to what it was. We will spend forever here on this planet. However, we do know Scripture says the old earth and heavens are going to melt away. Do you remember as a kid? You remember those toys as a kid? I remember getting those. It looked like a little egg, but inside of it had like a little plastic dinosaur. Yep. And what would you do? You had to get hot water or put it in water, and you pour the water over it, you put it in water. What happened? The encasing around that little toy would what? Dissolve away, and then you'd have that little toy. And with the new heavens and new earth here, what we see now is the effects of the curse of what's happened post the fall of Eden. When the new heavens and new earth, when it comes down, when there is that restoration, the curse is lifted from the planet, the old earth and the old heavens is going to kind of dissolve away, and we're going to be able to see, it's going to be revealed, it's going to be restored back to what it was. Now, the question you may be asking, I ask myself this is too, is how is that going to happen? Scripture doesn't tell us. It just says that the old is going to melt away and the new will be here. But once again, do we have to know it to trust that it's true and to trust God the Father that He's a good Father? The answer is no. We can believe and know without having to know everything. But whatever is going to transpire, just like Scripture says, we're going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. The new earth and this current earth can be transformed to what it was in its former glory in a second, in a blink of an eye. But how's that going to happen? Church, I don't have a good answer for you. All Scripture says is going to be melted away. So with that, we're going to have to just be amazed and marvel at what is to come. But in this new heavens and new earth, it's going to be here on earth. Eternity with Jesus and God the Father is going to be here. Now, how many of you have been to, I want you to take a moment, how many of you have been to a place that you thought is just magnificent or beautiful? Raise your hand. Think of the most gorgeous place you've been on here on earth. I mean, the most pretty sunset you've seen or sunrise or mountains or lake or, whatever you've been, that's just beautiful. Now take that, squash it up, and throw it away. The new heavens and the new earth are going to be beyond any of this stuff. It's going to make whatever you just envision in your mind, it's going to seem like a one-year-old drawing with crayons on a paper. Because God's going to restore His creation back to what it was. So think about that. We just read about in Isaiah about what will happen when the new heavens and new earth. We're going to live out our days. The animals will be different. There's no calamity. I love that part where Isaiah says, infants won't die. Infants won't die, but they'll live out their days. I mean, whatever is coming is going to be beyond anything we can think or imagine. But, I don't know about for you, but, there's days that I'm out and about, you see things in nature, you see an animal, you see a bird, you see the sun shining off, the ice on a winter tree, and you're like, oh, it's beautiful. And to me, that blows my mind. I don't know about you. I was at the Grand Tetons this summer. We were hiking, Ginger and I, and seeing the Grand Teton, seeing that massive range, I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, this is so vast and beautiful, but that is going to, but what we see there is the effects of the curse. So if the effects of the curse are still beautiful to us, what will it be like when the curse is lifted? What will creation look like? We were designed to have a relationship with the nature, with creation. Not some type of crazy hippie, you know, hugging trees all day. But we were supposed to interact with creation, and creation was supposed to interact with us. But there's enmity now between the created and the creation and all that. But in this newness, it will be restored. But Scripture gives us a glimpse of this. Look at 21 here. You may be asking, well, if it's going to be restored, what's it going to look like? What is this new city? Scripture gives us more definitions of what the new city will look like, what this new heavenly city, this centerpiece, this center kingdom, or you'd say capital of the world. It's the new Jerusalem. What's interesting here is we look in verses here 9, if you look at 9 on through 15, it gives this description. I mean, pure, you know, streets of gold, walls of gold, pure as glass, jewels, you know, pearls, that one solid pearl that'll be the gate. I mean, John is trying to communicate what he's seen about the city and how beautiful it is. It's going to be beyond anything we can think or imagine. What's interesting is the city, you know, it's going to be 1,400 miles long, wide, and high. And that's going to be coming down. It's going to be Jerusalem. It's going to replace what the current Jerusalem is at right now. But the question we have here is, you know, I have is, will we all live in this new city? Will we live outside of it? Because it says, if you look further down in chapter 21, in verses 22 through the end, through 27, if you look at this, the writer writes, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord, the God Almighty." And of course, we know this famous passage. The city's not going to need any sun or a lamp, because God will be the brightness of it. But look at verse 24. "By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." In most of our theology in preaching about the new heavens, new earth, we know that the tribulation's happened and it's over. We know the great battle of Armageddon is over. The great battle is done. We know Satan's thrown away in the lake of fire. And we know that the white throne judgment's already happened. So what does Scripture mean by here but that by its own light, this new city, that the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it? It's an interesting passage, which is verse 24 through 27. Will there be anything else going on outside of the city? And Scripture doesn't necessarily dive into that, but it gives some allusion here. I would humbly submit that there might be, you know, more than just us sitting around and in the city. God could give us tasks to do. We know during the millennial reign we'll reign with Him and rule and judge. And so in the new heavens and the new earth, if we were supposed to be restored back to what we were, what did God have for us in the beginning? He had for us to walk with Him and attend His garden, to tend the earth. And I would submit humbly that, yes, we're going to be worshiping God, and this new city of Jerusalem is going to be the centerpiece of the world, but God might have other things for us to do. Now, that's my humble submission and speculation, but Scripture doesn't go on any further than this, but God has a plan and purpose for us. Yes, we're going to worship Him, but also Scripture doesn't say that we will worship Him 24/7 in the new heavens and the new earth. It doesn't say that. It says there is worship, but it doesn't necessarily that we will do that forever and ever. We will always give praise to God, and we're going to lay our crowns down before Him. But I want to submit to us here, the city is going to be a light, and these verses here kind of give some other speculation of what will happen, what's going to happen in the new heavens and new earth. But even if we don't know this, like I said, even if we don't know what's all going to happen, we know that He's coming. He's going to restore all things. We're going to have our new bodies, and it's going to be made new to restore to what it was. Look at verse 20, excuse me, not verse 22. Look at chapter 22. Let's continue on here. The city comes down. John tries to describe its beauty. And I don't know about you, when I read this verse as a child, I was thinking to myself, wow, it's going to be beautiful, but is it going to be even more beautiful than this? And the answer is yes. You know, John was trying to use earthly things to describe what he saw in the heavenlies, and we know what God has prepared is even greater and more splendid than what we can think or imagine. But look at chapter 22 here, it goes on to write here, talking about this river, that out of the middle of the city is a river, and it says it has 12 trees, bearing 12 kinds of fruit each month of the year for 12 months. And the leaves, verse 2 there, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. We are going to see God. We are going to worship Him, but there's going to be healing. Someone has asked before, in studying Revelation, well, is there going to be any sadness in heaven? Are we going to we're going to remember the former ways of life, or is there going to be disease or so forth and so on? And the answer is, I want to just encourage us and remind us, no. When the new heavens and new earth is here, we will be healed and restored from any of that stuff, and we're going to be able to worship God. And there's going to be no more forethought or no more worrying about disease or other nations or am I going to be loved or am I going to be secure, because we're going to be in the presence of God. And God, as it says here in verse 4, they will see His face. We're going to see God's face. We're going to be able to see Him for who He is and what He is. We're going to be able to look upon His face. So, if you remember in the Old Testament, the ancients couldn't look upon God. Remember, it says, whoever looks on God would die. But at this point, we're going to be able to see God and who He is. And we're going to see Abba Father. We're going to see the good Heavenly Father once and for all. Going out on from there, this here in chapter 22, we see this river is going to go out, and we don't know, does it stop? Does it stop out of the city? We don't know. It says the healing is for all the nations. So once again, this river could keep going on, but we don't know. But it's going to be, whatever it is, it's going to bring healing to all the nations at this time. And then verse 6, I'm going to end on this. Verses 6 going on. It's interesting here. In these final verses, Jesus 5 times mentions, I am coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. In verse 7, Jesus said, the first time, He says, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. I want to encourage us. A lot of times we will skip Revelation in our yearly Bible reading, or you may have skipped it growing up because it was hard to understand, you didn't know it. But once again, Jesus is saying, blessed is the one who keeps the prophecies of this book. And I would encourage you, begin to keep reading it. Read over this during the year. Don't let today's series be the last time you read Revelation, but read over it. Talk about it and discuss it with one another. There's a lot of good commentaries in a lot of your Bibles. If you have a study Bible about Revelation, read through that. Go through the Old Testament scriptures and let it soak over you. And keep reading this book, because Jesus is reminding us that this book is telling about His coming and what He's going to bring. And we don't need to ignore this book in here. But finally, I want to say this. Look at verse 10 here. Look at verse 10. And once again, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book. It's the second time He's saying this. For the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Then He goes on to say, and He says once again, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, or your version might say, bringing my reward with me to repay each one for what he does. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I want to encourage you with these words, church. Don't seal up this book. Read it to others. Talk about it with others. You might think, well, Pastor Dan, my coworker, my neighbor, my spouse, my uncle, my grandchild doesn't know God, doesn't even want to hear this. It's okay. Don't seal up God's word. Talk about it with him. Find natural ways to communicate, to talk about Revelation. Find ways to say, hey, you know what? Jesus says he's coming soon. Let me tell you about what he's going to bring. What's the reward he's going to bring? But don't seal up this book after today. I'm encouraged by a lot of churches recently that are doing series on Revelation. They're talking about it. They're having people in their church read through it, go through it. But there's a lot of churches that don't want to talk about this, that don't want to kind of, you would say, do the proverbial draw the line in the sand that says Jesus is coming back and you must live for him or you will not be with him. They want to be very, I would say, squeamish in the sense of they don't want to offend people. They don't want to say, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't know him, there is eternal hell, separation from him. And today I want to remind us that we can't seal up what this book says. Jesus draws the line here. And in these last couple of chapters, Jesus, if we heard it, he says, if you're lying, if you're sexual immoral, if you're murderous, he goes forth, so forth and so on. He says, you're not going to see me. Jesus himself draws the line. And you and I don't need to make excuses for Jesus or for the standards of holiness that he calls us up to. But we need to stay with him and proclaim his word. This verse 11 here, let the evildoer, still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. That's a calling to you and I to stay the course, to endure with the saints that have gone on before us. Many of you in this room, I look around, know Christ, walk with Christ. He's calling us to stay the course, to live holy lives, to pursue him in this next year, not to get caught up with the world, not to get caught up in our own sin, but to step away from sin, resist the enemy, and he will flee, and to live lives of righteousness for him. And so with that, what are the big takeaways in this chapter, in these last two chapters? And here are some takeaways in these last chapters. First is this: eternity with Jesus will be here on earth, but in a completely restored order. The new heavens, new earth. Heaven is not out there. Heaven will be here. But it's going to look totally different than what we are experiencing here on this earth. Secondly is this: the new heavens and the new earth is so amazing, it's hard to describe and grasp the beauty of its fullness. Even though Scripture gives us these great details of what the new heavens and the new earth are going to be, it's still going to be better than what we can think or imagine. It's going to be better. Now, it's going to be, yeah, is there going to be pearly gates? The answer is yes, there is. Are the streets going to be made of gold? Yes, it is. But church, it's going to be even beyond that. Think about what this outside is going to look like once it is restored. What will the mountains look like? What will animals do? What will it be like to see Christ and have no need for the sun or the moon? What is that going to be like? It's going to be resplendent with glory and majesticness. The third thing is this: the presence of God will sustain the entire city and the world. You're going to have clean energy. The world will finally get to the clean energy it's always sought right now. God himself will be the energy, will be the light, will be the sustainer of the world. I don't know what all that's going to look like. Once again, some of this is the mystery we have to hold faithfully. But whatever it is, God's love is going to emanate from his presence. And his light's going to fulfill and reach every square inch of this globe. And it's going to be beautiful. And lastly is this: Jesus is coming soon. Be ready. Jesus is coming soon. This Jesus' last words to us, he said, "I am coming soon. Be ready." And that's what I want to leave you today on this December 31st, 2023, as we go into 2024. It's Jesus is coming. Be ready. Be ready. If you're playing with sin, if you've got some secret sin you're eating on, get rid of it. Get off that diet and get on the lifestyle of holiness, of openness, repentance. Come before the Lord and be open with him, because we know he's forgiven to 1,000 generations. But church, he's coming, and he's calling us out in this last two chapters that we have to live for him. Many of you probably know someone or have a loved one that doesn't know Christ or isn't following Christ. Or maybe you know someone that's, you know, claims the name of Jesus, but boy, you know, over here they're eating some secret sin. They're doing their own things. Church, I would go to you, I'd compel you. Go like the prophet Jeremiah with tears in your eyes. Compel them, and James says, snatch them from the fire and say, follow Christ, get ready, get right before him. The time is near. Now, some of us may be thinking, well, Dan, the apostles have been saying that for 2,000 years. Soon. What is defined soon for us? Right? That's probably the question I have. What's soon? I don't know what soon is. But we don't know what tomorrow promises. Right? We know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so, church, I would encourage us, as we go into the new year, be ready. And if we're ready, then we can walk with grace and peace in 2024. We can walk with a pep in our step. We can walk with expectation of meeting Christ. We can walk with the expectation of telling others about Jesus through OCC or at your work or through your own testimony or through sharing the book of Revelation with others. We can walk in a confidence and assurance that we will see him if we walk in his holiness and his ways. And so with that, so let's stand. And here's how we're going to close out this year. Stand up with me here. And here's how we're going to close this year. As we prepare our hearts and minds for what God wants to do in this next year, we're going to circle up. And so here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to come up front, boys and girls. We did this last year, if you remember. And we're going to get in a big circle, and we're going to pray for each other.